Our reading this evening is from Haggai chapter 2. In a Pew Bible, that's on page 948. This is Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
Well, good evening. My apologies, first of all, a lot of you were expecting Luke to come and preach tonight. You got me instead. Sorry about that. We're in Haggai, and we're carrying on from last week. So Nick was preaching last week, and we had chapter 1. And tonight we continue the story, we continue the prophecy, the message from God to his people. The big central theme of this book is God's house, God's place, where God is with his people. And this is a massive theme in the Bible. So before we get into chapter 2 and what God says to his people then, I want us just to think through together. How has this theme worked out? How does this all connect? Because that will help us to see what, how do we connect with Haggai, who was oh so long ago. So, God with his people. When do we see this in the Bible? Here are different blocks, building blocks, if you like, of this theme. The first is this. Right at the beginning, Eden. The Garden of Eden, God with his people. Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3 speaks of God walking in the cool of the day in the garden, being with Adam and Eve. God with his people. Then we jump on a little bit further. That all goes wrong, doesn't it? We know the story of Genesis and what happens. But then Exodus, the next book, God with his people. God rescued his people out of Egypt, and he says he's going to take his people to the promised land, and he tells his people to build, well, just a big fancy tent, really, the tabernacle, where God will live with his people. And God does. And the tabernacle goes with the people are on the move, and eventually they come into the promised land. And eventually David says, well, we're here now, this is it, we're residents, we're all living here in houses. God, shouldn't you have a house here, not a tent? And Solomon builds the temple. You see this in 2 Samuel or 2 Chronicles. The temple is built. A temple that was full of splendour, gold, glory. And God's glory fills the temple. God lived with his people. But then it all went wrong. The people were exiled, the Assyrians invaded, then the Babylonians invaded, the people got carried off. But then we find the people back. This is where we are, this is Haggai. Back in the land, back where there's the rubble, because the temple's been destroyed, all the gold and everything have been carried off, but they're back. And the foundations have been laid. And this is where we find ourselves in Haggai, the people being told to rebuild the temple, the place where God can live with his people, God's house. But that's not the end of the story. We know, don't we? We're in the middle of the Bible, really. So this scene goes on. They rebuild the temple. And then later, this man, Jesus, comes along. And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says that Jesus tabernacled amongst his people. Jesus, later on in the Gospels, a few of them record it, and we hear it being quoted at his trial. Jesus says, "Destroy this temple," talking about himself, "and I will raise it in 3 days. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the place where God lives with his people. But then the story moves on. And we find the church. First through the book of Acts. Now us. We are where God lives with his people. Not here. This isn't a holy space, this building. Us, you. Individually, if you're a Christian, God's Spirit lives in you. We read that in 1 Corinthians. But particularly us. When two or three are gathered, there am I with there. God with his people. But we're not the end of the story. There's more, isn't there? Something still to come. There's the new creation. There's Revelation. The end of the Bible. A new heavens and a new earth. A new Jerusalem. I will live with my people. God with his people. See how it works? Big theme through the Bible. The temple theme, the tabernacle theme, the God with his people theme. Massive theme. All through the Bible. And my hope is, having just gone through those steps, that will just help us to think, well, what was going on for those people then in Haggai, the pink block in the middle? How does that tally with us, the church, the purple block? And yet, what are we still looking forward to? Because whenever we come to prophecy in the Old Testament, we've always got all these things in view. What was going on then for the people? How has some of that been fulfilled in Jesus? What's it saying about us today? And what's still to come? Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so look at Haggai chapter 2, see what's going on here. They've not had a PowerPoint with them, blocks to kind of show them. God was about to speak. This is what he was going to say, this is the big theme. Instead of blocks on a PowerPoint, they had a date. Now we miss this. I suspect very few of us know what's significant about the date. Chapter 2 and verse 1. In the second year of Darius, that's less important, but it means we can date it today when this took place. It was 520 BC. That's the second year of Darius, the real king in real history. But here's the date that's important. On the 21st day of the 7th month. Anyone know? I didn't know. I had to be told in a book this week. The 7th month was when several festivals happened for God's people. The 21st day of the 7th month was towards the end of the festival of tabernacles, or the festival of booths. Now this festival that God's people celebrated involved them acting out a visual aid for themselves. They had to remember the time when God was in a tabernacle and God was on the move with his people. What do you think they had to do to remember that? They had to move out of their house and build their own little tent, their own little shelter, and live in it for a week. And this was on the 7th day of that festival, so for a week they'd been living outside. Imagine that, this week. You had to move out of your house put a tent up in the garden and live in a tent for a week. Is it chilly this week? Frost this week, isn't it? That uncomfortable, you know, not one of the nicest festivals probably that they had, but there they were. They'd have done it. Day 7, the Feast of Tabernacles. What are they thinking about? Tabernacle. It's in their head. They've been living it. Big thing. God speaks. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor. The kingly figure. Speak to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, the priestly figure. Speak to the remnant of the people. This is all the people. This is aimed at the king, the priest, and everybody else. Speak to them. And what is Haggai to say? Well, he's to ask them a question. You see, there's a problem that the foundation has been laid for the temple. They've been told to get on with the work for the temple, but there's a problem. Enthusiasm is lacking. They're starting to think, what's the point? Why bother rebuilding this temple? God knows this. And so the question that he asks is very pointed. Look at what he says, verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Now God knows the answer they're going to give. There were a few of them who were left. Not very many. Some of them were old enough to think back to what they'd seen when they were younger, what the temple had been like back then. In one of the parallel books of the Bible, in Ezra, we read this in chapter 3. They laid the foundation of the rebuild of the temple. And there was a bit of singing and rejoicing that the foundation of the temple rebuild had been started. The service of thanksgiving and praise. Some people were shouting with joy. Yes, we've laid the foundation of the new temple. But Ezra also tells us this. Many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who'd seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid. Not moved by their emotions. Oh, isn't it great the temple's being rebuilt? But disappointed. Foundations were, well, even they showed this wasn't going to be as good. The materials they had to build with weren't as good as the materials that were used for the original temple. This was disappointing. Zechariah, another parallel book, it tells us that they thought of this as being a day of small things. A waste of time. The other temple had been glorious. Gold everywhere. Solomon, when he was in charge of the country, when the temple was built, well, they conquered lots of land, so lots of gold and precious materials could be brought in, but also other nations were donating it. We read of the Queen of Sheba who came, who bought a load of gold for Solomon. Riches. Much of that was put in the temple. But it had been taken away. We read of the successive raids by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians. We read of the sweetness being given, even by kings such as Hezekiah, to the Babylonian kings. The gold was given away. It was all gone. So what was being built now seems like nothing. Seems rubbish. And the people were busy, weren't they? Essentially, they were immigrants. They'd moved back to the land. They had to get on with life. You know, they had mouths to feed. They had to get on with the farming and turning over the soil again. They had businesses to get off the ground. They had family life to get on with. There was that elderly parent to look after, a sick brother to care for, a fifth child on the way. Life was busy. And Haggai wanted them to rebuild the temple. Now, where does this fit with us? Where do we connect? This was them. We're not them. Think of those stepping stones. We're the temple. We're God's house. And Nick was helping us to see that last week. If we're speaking about us rebuilding the temple, we're not talking about us building a fancy church building. We're talking about us inputting into each other's lives. Building each other up, that's the phrase in the New Testament. Well, maybe CBT is quite a good parallel for this. I could ask the question, who remembers the former day? Mr. Matthews, legendary. This place was filled. Sunday evenings, every seat taken. Chairs down the aisles. Look around tonight. We could have a few each. Who's left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like nothing? Well, we might think, you know, this morning the church is quite full. We're doing all right, really, aren't we? But if we think comparably in terms of the nation and the number of people who are Christians, if we think of what most people think about church, if we were to mention it in the week ahead, or what you do at the weekend, in morning and evening, well, that was four hours of church on Sunday. 4 hours of church? Crazy. What a waste of time. Yeah, not only 4 hours of church, you know, I gave up time to prepare some kids' work, to teach them something from the Bible. I gave up time to visit someone in a nursing home to encourage them. I gave up time to run a ministry midweek. I give up time to help with the finances of the church, to fix some of the stuff around the building. Gave up time to meet one-to-one to encourage somebody or attend a growth group. Is it worth it? Why bother? There's better things to do, aren't there? More exciting things, more worthwhile things. Why bother with church? Well, that was the people then. But it can so easily be us, can it? You know, the strain becomes too much. Life is so busy. We lose heart. We might be tempted to give up. Well, God had a word for the people in Haggai's day. He was teeing them up for this. He knows. He understands. He sees. But he comes with encouragement. So we see this, first of all. There we go. First encouragement, be strong and keep working, for he is with you. Be strong and get on with the work. See what he says? It sort of addresses everybody who is summoned, verse 4. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. Get on with it. Work. Now, if we know our Bibles a little bit, it ought to remind us of some other places where God uses these kinds of words. Be strong, I am with you. Words he spoke to Moses before he faced Pharaoh. Words he spoke to Joshua before he entered the promised land. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. I am with you. Words spoken by Jesus to his disciples. Words spoken by Jesus to us with the Great Commission. I will be with you always. And just to drive the point home that God can be trusted on this, verse 5. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you, so do not fear. I am with you, I promise. And I'm still here, and I'm still with you. So be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid. Get on with the work. Now that's for the people then, to get on with the work, to get on with the rebuilding, to go for it. Well, what about us today? What do we need to not be afraid of? Why do we need courage today to get on with God's work? Maybe it is an investment of time. We need to take courage in that. It's worth what we're giving up. Maybe it's that courage to do something that's beyond our comfort zone within the life of the church, whether it's involved with children or involved with finances or involved with computers. All risky. Courage. I'm with you. Maybe it's the person that you invited to the Mark drama and they said no. I'm with you. Speak to them again. Invite them to something else. Drop into conversation again. Maybe it's the person you're thinking of inviting to the men's breakfast that's coming up in June. Maybe it's courage needed to get along to the CU at school. Maybe it's to keep witnessing in the home or amongst the family for those who aren't yet Christians. Be strong and keep working. For I am with you, says the Lord. Who is the Lord? Does it make any difference if he is with us? Well, Nick showed us last week this phrase that keeps coming up, Lord Almighty, is the title, the Lord of Heaven's Armies, the Lord of Hosts. He is with you. There's no one bigger or stronger. It's him. Be strong. For I am with you. Not in your own strength. I am with you. And secondly, be assured your work will end up looking glorious. How do you harvest an apple tree? Anyone know? Shake it. You see, you can go to an apple tree and very carefully pick off the apples, sort of one by one. But if you've got an orchard, they're all going to be rotten by the time you finish, aren't they? So what do farmers do now? They have a bit of machinery that sits on the side of the tractor and it's got this kind of grab hand on it. And they drive up next to a tree and it sort of manoeuvres in, grabs hold of the trunk. Apples all come flying off. Shaken. Verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. What is this talking of? Well, this shaking of the heavens and the earth is speaking of God's judgment. Again, for the people in Haggai's day, it was seen slightly at that time that the Persian Empire was the big superpower at the time. There was turmoil and shaking. And they allowed for some good things to come and be used in the temple, in the rebuild. But that isn't really where this is pointing, that there's something more, bigger, isn't there? This is speaking into the future. It is speaking of the treasures. Some people have thought that maybe and I think in one of the older translations, it sort of made that sound like it was speaking of a person in verse 7. I will shake the nations and what is desired by all the nations will come. People thought maybe this is speaking of Jesus. Well, we can follow the link and understand why, but this is speaking more of the treasures because look, it tells us. Verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. When is this coming? It was what had happened in the past, and we saw in those building blocks earlier, when the people left Egypt in the Exodus, you know what they did just before they left? They went and knocked on the doors of some of their Egyptian neighbours, and they said, you just give us some of your gold and silver. And they did. And it was used to furnish the tabernacle. And Solomon's day, when Solomon's temple was built, it was the gold of the nations that had come in. It was used to furnish the temple. And God says, this is going to happen in the future too. So keep your finger in Haggai and just turn with me to the end of your Bible, Revelation 21. Right at the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. This is all picture language going on here. For many of us, these are well-known verses. But what's the imagery showing us?
What is the gold and silver?
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That doesn't mean there'll be no seaside in the new creation. The sea was the place of chaos, of trouble, of evil in Jewish thought. It's just saying there's going to be no more chaos, no evil in the new heavens. But there'll be seaside and beaches. What does he see? Verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. See, the city, what's the city? City is the bride. Who's the bride? The bride is the church. What's the city? The city is us. We're the city. We're the city. That's important for later. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, look, big theme, Bible theme, look. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Favourite verses in the Bible, they've got to be on there, up there. God with his people. Look at what it's going to be like. No more tears. Now, flick over to verse 22. Keep thinking. Remember that bit, city. Who's the city? Us. We're the city. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Remember, big theme through the Bible. Here it is, Revelation. God is with his people. There is no temple. He's just with them. He's there. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendour into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honour of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See the connection it's making at the end there. What's going to be brought into this place? The splendour of the nations. The glory and honour of the nations. The kings of the earth will bring their splendour into it. Haggai, gold and silver, shaking. Gold and silver is going to come in. Revelation, glory and splendour of the nations. What's this speaking of? Well, verse 27, when it starts to speak of what's coming in, it's speaking of people, isn't it? What's the glory and the splendour? What's the gold and the silver? It's that child that you gave up time to serve in Sunday club or kids club. He's there in the kingdom. It's that neighbour that you invited to that evangelistic event who became a Christian. And they're there in the kingdom. Gold and silver. It's that person on the other side of the world that you never met, but you funded a missionary who went over there and shared the good news about Jesus, and they became a Christian. Gold and silver. From the nations. Gathered in the temple. It will be glorious, says God. Keep working, keep going at it. It is worth it. Come back to Haggai. Last verse we're doing today, verse 9. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. God with his people, that's that image, isn't it? No more tears. Place where you can flourish. That's the peace that's speaking of, that shalom. Achieved for us ultimately by Jesus. They were the words he spoke after his resurrection. Peace be with you. Peace he offers us. Peace. We feel it in part now, that peace with God, that peace with each other. We go to an Anglican church, they'll share the peace. Sort of walk round and shake hands with everybody and greet them with a kiss and a hug. But it's that sense of we can be at peace with each other now. And yet there's more to come from there. Eternal peace, eternal rest, eternal flourishing. Peace. So is it worth building? Is it worth it this week, giving up time, meeting one to one? Involved in the ministry you're involved in. Being here on a Sunday night, playing a musical instrument. Fixing the leak in the roof. Is it worth it? Have you been bothered? God says through Haggai to the people, it is worth it. It is so worth it. And I'm with you. Keep going. Keep building. Keep going. So a moment of quiet before we sing our closing song.